Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Although the calendar now says September, it'll feel like July again this week with temperatures in the 80s and 90s across the state. So even though it's after Labor Day, it's not quite fall yet. Joining us now for Dakota Midday's semi-regular gardening segment is Rick Abrahamson, horticulture instructor at Southeast Technical Institute in Sioux Falls. And Rick, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Well, thank you for having me on the show again. I thoroughly enjoy conversing with you on the radio here.
All right. And if you have any lawn and garden questions, you can email us at midday@sdpb.org. You can also give us a call at 800-524-3604. Just talking about the weather conditions, has this been kind of a weird growing season going back to the spring when it seemed like we were having winter, then it got kind of cool in July, and now last couple of weeks getting very, very hot?
You know, it has been very, very strange that way with the ups and downs. You know, the last couple of weeks have been extremely hot, and you know, the number one thing you can think about doing in your yard, whether it be your garden or your lawn, is making sure that it has plenty of water. Because if you don't have enough water in that soil, those plants are going to wilt and they're going to start to lose biomass. And of course, in the case of a lawn, you could end up losing the lawn. In the case of a garden, you end up losing some of your produce. So instead of, you know, bushels and bushels of tomatoes, you might end up with just a couple of bushels and not get the full potential of those plants. So it's very important that both garden plants, lawns, trees, shrubs, everything needs about an inch of water per week. And I understand we had a storm here in Sioux Falls. I was gone over the weekend, so I wasn't here. But if that storm, I don't know what the rainfall amounts are yet, but, you know, if that storm didn't give us that whole inch of water, you're going to have to do some irrigating this week, even to supply that, but also to cool those plants too. We call that syringing, where you just spray the plant. Now that's usually not how we water plants, but it helps to cool them to get them wet during the hottest part of the day.
Can you water during that hot part of the day, or do you really want to wait for the morning or the evening?
It's really better to water in the morning. So when it's a hot day and you're going to syringe, you really just set the sprinklers to turn on for, you know, 10 minutes or something, just enough to get the plant itself wet and not so much the soil wet. In the morning is when you want to do your watering, because then that stuff's going to soak into the soil better and it's going to be ready to be used by the plants as soon as they start photosynthesizing in the morning when the sun comes up.
We have a question from Dennis in Spearfish, a question about tomatoes. Dennis, go ahead with your question for Rick.
Yeah, Rick. I got a question on tomatoes. We had a hailstorm earlier this summer. Had to replace my tomatoes. They're doing fine. I got a lot of tomatoes, but obviously we had that cool weather, so they're still pretty green now with the hot weather. They're coming on. But my question is, should I reduce the water? Will that make them ripen? You know, because we're getting really close to the end of the season out here.
Well, with tomatoes, you really want to have a nice uniform watering. So you don't want to have ups and downs of wet and dry and wet and dry, because that's when you get blossom end rot when you have that. It's a calcium deficiency that's caused because of uneven watering. So in the case of those tomatoes, once they start ripening, when they kind of turn that yellowish orangish color, once that starts, then the rest of them are going to start ripening too, because of the ethylene gas that's produced. So hang in there, they're going to be okay. They're going to still need water as long as you don't have a frost. If you have a frost, you know, that kind of takes you out of the game. But if that frost stays away, they'll continue to produce well into the fall if the weather holds out. And this hot weather, tomatoes love that. That's when they really grow a lot.
All right, I appreciate it.
All right, thank you so much, Dennis. Rick, we have a question from an email question. This is from Brookings. I have a number of pines, actual pines, not spruce, that appear to be dying. The innermost needles are turning brown and falling, and this works its way to the outside. When I look at the trunks, I see potential signs of some kind of borer, big sap blooms in several places. Are you aware of any East River pine pest, any possible solution here?
Well, there are a couple of insect pests that can cause needle drop. But one thing the email said was it talks about he's seeing the needle drop on the inside needles first, if I heard that correctly.
Yep, innermost needles.
Innermost needles working its way out. Now, every fall, some needles fall on a pine tree, and that's normal. It's normal needle drop. Just like a deciduous tree loses its leaves in the fall, those oldest needles need to be gotten rid of, too, because they're not doing anything for the tree. So just on what he wrote in the email, I'm not convinced that it's an insect pest or if it's natural needle drop right now, and it could be response to the heat conditions too. But if he's concerned about insect pests, if you see him kind of pitch tubes, I know there's a Zimmerman moth that usually goes to the tip of the branch, and there's some other borers, but it may or may not. But it's nothing like the pine beetle out in Rapid. They're out in the Black Hills. Nothing going to come in that way, but there could be some secondary borers coming in that his trees maybe aren't quite as healthy as they should be, and they're kind of being they're getting targeted by some secondary pests.
Okay, Rick. Well, here's another email question. Are there some things that we should be fertilizing as we move into fall and dormancy forest plants?
Fertilization in the fall is good for lawns. The rule of for lawns to fertilize Labor Day weekend, so if they haven't yet, they still got a little bit of time. But then they want to back off on that until with winterizer fertilizer. So they don't want to wait much after this.
Oh, hello, Rick?
Problems.
Oh, you kind of cut out there for a while talking about the fertilizing, and you mentioned winterizing.
Winterizing fertilizing is done for lawns usually around Halloween time, but right now the fertilizer treatment that would be prescribed would be a late summer, early fall treatment of 1 pound of actual nitrogen per 1,000 square feet. But don't apply it any later than this next Friday or Saturday. Because if you wait too long, what can happen is it stimulates the grass to grow. And then if we get some cold weather, that can actually harm the grass. So you want to have my advice, if he's going to fertilize his lawn, would be to do it today. So, and then he'd be okay.
So the heat, that doesn't make any difference regarding when you're applying fertilizer?
Not so much. It depends on what type of fertilizer you're using. If it's a good slow-release fertilizer, which would be what you'd want to use in the fall, it's going to be fine. If you use something that was hotter, fast-release fertilizer like urea, then he might get some burning. But if it's a slow-release fertilizer, it's going to be okay. Even in the heat, he's got to make sure he's got moisture. He might have to turn the sprinklers on or move a sprinkler around or something to get that fertilizer activated, but those plants will take that up, and they would be fine.
I have a question here about raspberry plants. Wondering if there's an age limit to raspberry plants, if there comes a point when they just don't produce as much as they used to.
Yeah. Well, what happens with raspberries, and commercial growers do this, they'll actually grow raspberries for just a couple of years, and then they remove them and start over again. And what happens with the raspberries, you get some disease in there, fire blight, and some viruses, such like that, and maybe get some insects, some cane borers, and those kind of just keep proliferating themselves in that patch. So you're really seeing an impact of the diseases and insects that continue to the inoculum source is last year's leaf litter and stuff. So you're just kind of getting more and more and more as you go. So like commercial guys, like I say, they'll plant them 1 year, get a small crop this year, and then next year they get a big crop, and then they'll 2-3 years down the road they'll just start all over again with a new spot. So that's really what's happening with those raspberries, is he's getting some disease or insect situations that are continuing to come back every year.
So then the solution is to dig them up and plant new raspberries elsewhere, or can you do them in the same place?
I would actually plant them in another location in the yard. It's important that he cleans up leaf litter in the fall, that he prunes them and gets rid of that. Don't compost that material, burn it or take it someplace, get it off the property. And he might get 4, maybe 5 years of good production that starts to peter out. He's probably going to want to go to a different spot in the yard, because that inoculum source is going to be in that site.
We've got about a minute left. Time for one more email question. Is it too early to plant spring blooming bulbs?
Yeah, you're right, kind of on the line right here. If you can find them yet, I don't know if they're even in the garden centers yet, but if you got them, you could plant them. As hot as it's going to be, it's probably not the best time. It'd probably wait until it cools, maybe get a light frost, and then plant them. It could really go either way on spring flowering bulbs. If it stays too warm too long, you could have some damage from disease or insect, but other than that, it's going to work as long as you don't have that problem.
Well, Rick, we're out of time, but I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us on Dakota Midday, and we'll have to talk with you again in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good.
All right, that's Rick Abrahamson, horticulture instructor at Southeast Technical Institute in Sioux Falls. And that's it for this edition of Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Thanks to all of our guests on today's show, Kevin Kirby, Craig Kindred, Rick Holtzclaw, and Rick Abrahamson. Steven Zwemke is our producer. We had assistance today from Chris Loffrey. Also, special thanks to Keely Butina for her help at the University of Sioux Falls. Coming up tomorrow, we'll discuss the latest in state politics with the Dakota Political Junkies, Denise Ross, web editor of the Mitchell Daily Republic, and David Montgomery, political reporter with the Sioux Falls Argus Leader, will be here. That's at noon Central, 11 Mountain, on SDPB Radio. I'm Carl Gerke. Stay tuned. Here and Now is coming up next.